For instance, it has been posed that the interior of the Earth will present to itself, not the commonly accepted form of molten iron, as is supposed to exist in our modern understanding in the scientific world, but will actually, so far as present instrumentation is concerned, cease to be, or shall become non-existent in that future day when the scientist succeeds in penetrating the thin crust of the Earth. Yet, indeed, it must not be surmised that the interior of the Earth is a vacuum, no more so than the infinitely filled solid space which surrounds the terrestrial planet Earth, and which has been accepted by the scientist as space simply because he lacks the relative means to relay any particular dispensations of reactance or resistance into the horizon of his five senses. When the scientist does penetrate the surface of the Earth, should he have, at that time, the correct instrumentation to differentiate the various types of energy spectra which exist in or beneath the crust of the Earth, he will indeed find that energy forms do surpass and go beyond the limits of his present-day understanding of atomic constituents in the scale of the some 100 atoms, of which he now presupposes his science to be compounded. In this way, we shall prove that the interior of the Earth is not molten, but composed of regular layers or dimensions of energy, each one in an increasingly dense layer to the immediate layer above it. That, too, is part of the vortical pattern as a hard core nucleus of a great vortex. At this point, we shall bring into consciousness a very important and dominant factor of relationship which must be remembered by both the reader and the scientist in this analogy, as it concerns not only the interior of the Earth, but the so-called space which surrounds the Earth. Therefore, may we interject two very important findings which the scientist has made in the past few years, and which have to some extent torn down or completely changed some previously existing scientific concepts, or these facts have presented, at the moment, some unexplained mysteries. In shooting experimental rockets into orbit, the last stage or nose cone is known as a satellite. Contained within these revolving spheres is certain radio apparatus which has been installed to transmit definite information back to the Earth. In this respect, the scientist has found that to his knowledge no suitable mechanism exists which is capable of measuring temperatures as were previously supposed to have been known in this, so-called, space. In other words, thermometers or any other temperature measuring device remain completely inert when suitable distance is attained from the surface of the Earth, wherein there is a cessation of a certain interplay of cosmic energy transferences from other dimensions. This brings a very important fact to bear, that all known scientific apparatus, as it so exists, has been developed from a comparatively limited band of energy interpolations which can be considered to present, in our evaluation, a means or, in other words, a certain definite point from which he can equate or equalize such existing physical phenomena as is apparent in our daily life and which is reactive to some degree, to the five existing physical senses. However, this does not presuppose, as we have postulated in other texts in this book, that there are not an infinite number of various interpolations of energy and transduction which exist in an infinite number of dimensions and to which the five senses are in no way sensitive. Thus the scientist is finding that his present-day apparatus, as it is so concerned with the means of the five physical senses, presents a very limited and narrow perspective or horizon of introspection. He has thus become confounded by the fact that his temperature measuring devices are now not reactive outside the confines of the atmospheric envelope of the Earth and its statically surcharged field of force. This force field is a byproduct of the various generic forces as they move in the magnetic lines of force surrounding the Earth, and link it, cosmically speaking, to the infinite universe. It might also be noted at this time, that should the scientist succeed in levitating a man above the surface of the Earth and out into space at a sufficient distance, he would, as it has been suggested in a previous text, find that the picture of the Earth would be quite similar to that of the planet Venus. He would not be able to see the exact surface of the Earth, simply because of the various intervening layers and fields of force of surcharged or ionically charged particles of matter which are more correctly called electrons. Therefore, in establishing within the dimensions of our consciousness, science in its present existing state, is only interpolating into consciousness, as the perimeter of the five conscious or physical senses, the known horizon of the physical science. By this token then, should the scientist penetrate the crust of the earth, he would most certainly lack the correct instrumentation to determine any reactive constituents, as they might manifest themselves in any existing instrumentation which he might now possess. Here again enters another supporting concept which presently presents a great paradox to the scientist, for he has found in his laboratory, ways and means to subject various atomic forms, such as copper, to the temperature of absolute zero, which is approximately 472 degrees below zero. In this lowered state of temperature, and we use the word temperature rather loosely, the scientist has found that the copper has now a perfect conductivity and presents no reactance or resistance to the electric force which may be passing through it at that particular moment. This is in direct contradiction to the Ohm's law, which means that again when the scientist, Ohm, postulated his theory of resistance, he did so from the same commonly discussed base or means, as is relevant to the transposition of energy forms in the dimension of our five physical senses. Herein enters a very important part of this concept. It must be firmly envisioned by the reader that atomic forms, as they present themselves on the surface of man's consciousness and to such various existing forms in his terrestrial dimension, or physical world, are all, in themselves, atoms, merely very minute transducers, that is, they are very busily engaged like small firemen in shoveling coal onto the fire, so to speak. The earth, as it presents itself to the physical man, maintains some sort of a mean temperature. This, too, is partially a byproduct from the transduction of energy from the fourth or fifth dimensional planes next to the earth, into the various atomic constituents of which it is so comprised. The exact manner of transference of energy from the sun is not complete in so far as the earth is concerned, that is, it obtains energy in many different ways and forms as a direct result of transduction from many other dimensions, manners, and means. The reader may visualize that the planet Earth, as it has been suggested, represents only the nucleus of a gyrating field of force which, in itself, has precipitated certain negative energy waveforms in an increasingly hard or dense core toward the center. These waveforms will, in turn, in this compressed relationship to the infinite, form the various atomic constituents as one of the byproducts of this regenerative process. In the outward expansion into the third dimension, which presents a negative surface to this hard core of the vortical spectrum above it, is another of these regenerative byproducts, as seen in the expression of certain lines of force which are called magnetic lines of force. These in themselves, can be considered as primary channels of energy transference from one given dimension to another. They are, to some extent, governing reagents of the transductance of various types of energy from one dimension to another. The Earth, just as any other heavenly body including the Sun, can therefore be envisioned within the mind as a huge atom. While the tiny core or the nucleus of the atom is at least partly responsible for maintaining a certain means within the five physical senses, in the transduction of energy into the physical world, each atom can thus be considered a transducer. It is, as has been suggested, taking a certain quantum of energy from another dimension and, in the oscillating process, regeneratively speaking, in the manner and fashion of the vortex which comprises the Earth itself, becomes an exact subparticle or facsimile of this same vortical pattern as the Earth. Therefore, the atom can be considered in its function to be sending energy, or shooting energy off into the same lines of magnetic transference, as does the Earth itself, or the vortex which forms the Earth, in the function of the normal transductance of energy into the various physical relationships which comprise the atomic constituents of the Earth itself. Therefore, the atom retains the correct mean temperature, as do all similar atoms, whether they are compounded in large or small quantities of the so-called neutronic, protonic elements, or surcharges, as they have been pictured by the atomic scientists. It is quite obvious that a loaded vehicle cannot transport an additional load. If we load a 1-ton truck with 1 ton of metal, It would then be very laborious to carry any additional load which was imposed upon it. The atom is in the same position, relatively speaking, as it is when contained in a long rod which can be called a copper wire. Each tiny atom composing a molecule or a crystal of copper is busily engaged at full capacity in transforming energy from one dimension to another to keep it as a copper atom within this certain mean temperature, or terrestrial dimension, into which it has so manifested itself. Any additional load in the form of energy, traveling at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, presents an additional load which it can, to some extent, laboriously conduct within the circumference of the magnetic lines of force of which it is comprised. This represents the resistance, postulated by Ohm in his law of Ohm's resistance. When the same atom which is contained in the copper wire is subjected to intense refrigeration or, to state more factually, an isolation process wherein the atom has been at least temporarily suspended or isolated from its interdimensional activity, it then becomes, to any outside force of traveling energy as it is reflected to it, a perfect conductor, simply because it is, in its own intelligence, its own IQ, ready, willing and able to assume the load which has been temporarily suspended from its activity due to the isolation by the so-called refrigeration. In other words, so far as this individual atom is concerned, refrigeration and its subjugation to the absolute mean, so far as the scientist is concerned with 472 degrees below zero, it is, in effect, thrown a million miles away from the surface of the Earth, out into another dimension in which it is not functionally active and does not perform its major task or its particular intelligence, in relating energy from one dimension into another. The presentation of these facts and the seeming mysteries of present-day science should now clear up certain definite and pertinent points in the reader's introspection. As it was previously postulated, there is no such thing as space. It is infinitely filled and infinitely solid, so far as energy is concerned. This energy, in itself, assumes a vast magnitude and an infinite number of different forms and dispensations, as well as interchanges. This cannot be considered, in any way, to be a chaotic maelstrom but rather, a very highly organized interplay of energy forms which are transposing and transducing energy from one dimension into another by the simple and presently recognized laws of harmonic structures and the regenerative processes which are concerned when a large energy source is involved by the infinite mind in these various interpolations. The world in itself, as well as the planetary system, the galaxy and the universe in which the Earth is so situated, presents to even the most casual observer, a very obvious fact: there is much more to science at the present time than has been presupposed in any scientific dispensations. The vague and nebulous theories as they are posed by science, that any planet or sun represents in its formation, a long-term period of the collection of many tiny dust particles from space, is quite infantile and completely refutes any of the existing knowledge or laws of electronic force or motion. The various suns, stars, solar systems and galaxies only represent certain terminating points in the dispensations of energy waveforms and energy manifestations in the interdimensional expansion and contraction process. These planetary systems, as well as the universes themselves, represent only certain conjunctions or parallaxes, which can be considered as certain terminating points for a large number of energy waveforms from other dimensions which have reached a common junction and which are terminating and re-expressing themselves in the common laws of multiple harmonics into a secondary or lower dimension of transference. The theory then, as postulated by modern science, that energy, heat or light comes from the sun, is in this respect not only completely inaccurate but bespeaks of the abysmal ignorance from which science is presently trying to levitate itself. When the future scientist begins to understand that the physical dimension, whether it is the Earth, the solar system, or the universe about him, represents only an infinitesimally small point of energy transference from the infinite into his present perspective or means of the five senses, he shall then begin to understand the universal cosmogony, as it is more thoroughly understood by mankind in other planetary systems and in other dimensions. the mention of cosmic dust and the fallaciousness that dust could exist in an infinitely filled space would, in itself, be a contradiction and a refutation of all known scientific principles of electronic force in motion. This brings us more directly to another of the most thoroughly misunderstood of the present-day scientific concepts, and that is the weather. It is generally believed and postulated by scientists who are supposed to know about such things, that rain or such precipitation is caused by the accumulation of moisture molecules upon some floating dust particles in the atmosphere immediately surrounding the cloud layer. This, again, is one of the infantile suppositions which also smacks of the utter and abysmal ignorance of which the scientist is guilty, in his failure to understand some very obvious processes of energy transferences which are a part of his daily life. Precipitation from any layer of surcharged atmosphere, as it presents a large incidence of moisture particles, is possible only under certain conditions which can be classed in the general classification as ionization. In common laws, in the interpolation of energy from one dimension to another, various layers of gas above the surface of the Earth represent in their atomic constituents, transductive elements. The variance of these transductive elements, while small, yet are, in themselves, quite subjective to extraterrestrial forces with which they are working, such as various differences in magnetic stresses which are fluctuating from the Sun itself. Under such conditions, therefore, magnetic lines of force can be considered as a force, which when coming in contact with suspended layers of atomic particles represents certain conductivity in different spectra and which the scientist has called heat or light. Thus they can become charged negatively or positively with a temporary charge of magnetic energy and become ionized. Under such conditions, these particles attract other particles to them, representing negative polarities. When a sufficiency of these ionized particles are thus collected together, they also begin the process of collecting other suspended particles which are represented by denser particles as moisture, then precipitation begins. This will also explain what the weatherman calls the various types of inversions, which mean high or low pressure areas. They simply represent, to a large degree, certain particular points wherein magnetic lines of force have an energy force, either compressed or released pressure, from the various points of these existing layers of gaseous atmosphere, thus generating the so-called high and low pressure areas. This means that only at these particular points, conductivity is either lessened or is increased, thus regenerating as a direct product, the ionization and the precipitation, or conversely in the other or more negative form, the arid or dry spells wherein there is no precipitation. At this point, it should be quite obvious to the layman and scientist alike, that in the presentation of these different concepts, there is indeed much more to life than is commonly supposed from our present existing science, which has been basically determined from the various reactionary values as to their effect upon the five physical senses. It should also be quite obvious, especially to the scientist, that our present-day science is comparatively new, that is to say, perhaps less than 100 years old, and so far as any other or previously existing sciences as they were postulated in such previous civilizations or epochs of time, were in themselves, almost completely sterile of the real and important values of life. In this sense, it can therefore be considered that our present-day science is the beginning of a new age. In his future evolutions and the thousands of years to come, in the configurations of these various evolutions, man will pose either individually or collectively to the races of mankind as they come and go upon the surface of the earth. He will become increasingly aware of the great preponderance and interdimensional relationships which are in the world about him and which, in themselves, are in no way immediately related in a reactive sense to his five existing physical senses. This, then, can be considered to be a return to an age or a civilization which has long ago passed from the surface of the earth, wherein man, in a similar cycle of transposition in his position to the infinite, was so posed in his physical and spiritual sciences that he had begun to understand much more realistically his position to this infinite than the scientist of today so relates himself. It is also quite reasonable to suppose that in the vast galaxies and universes which populate this seeming void about us in our tiny nucleus of energy, which we call the Earth, men can also be seen to be living in countless other dimensions far beyond his own imagination, which is primarily concerned only as reactive elements within the subconscious mind, formed of terrestrial experiences from out of the past. Therefore, any sane nor intelligent man cannot at any time in his suppositions, ever lay down lines of demarcation for either physical science or any other particular relationships of mankind in the transposition of life about him. If he does so, he is only advertising his profound ignorance to his fellow mankind. There are no lines of demarcation as far as the infinite is concerned, but relate only to successive relationships wherein certain predetermined spectra of energy transferences so reside which can be called dimensions. Such dimensions are so divided as to obtain the proper reciprocative action in their cosmic interplay, as generative and regenerative substances of energy or entities of intelligence. Intelligence in itself, whether portraying any singular act of transposition in such interplay of energy, can thus be considered intelligent, and any accumulation of such intelligent wave forms can be considered, not only as an entity but also as a configuration. When such configurations become more vast and complex in their nature as to encompass various other dimensions or spectra of interpolations, then these can be considered to be individuals. No man exists by the five physical senses alone. The tiny atoms of which man's body is composed, in the various processes of life about him, whether they are of the more tangible, called the reactive elements of thinking, or of the more subjective reactionary forms of motion, such as walking, eating, etc., can also be considered to be transduced forms of intelligent relationship, which he has either manifested from one or a number of previous experiences and the accumulation thereof, or they can be considered separate entities of expression in which he has attuned himself into the infinite void about him. At this point too, it can be seen how fallacious is the commonly accepted form of science which relates man to a terrestrial dimension in which he is, as a flesh and blood being, so subjected to the entirety of life as it exists within the confines or means of his five physical senses. These five physical senses could not exist if it were not for such proper interdimensional frequency relationships which stem from such centers as the psychic body, and which have been previously constructed by this same individual in various lifetimes. Also, these psychic centers, in themselves, present attunements into various interdimensional configurations of entities or intelligent forms, equations and values of life which make his progression into the future possible by constantly presenting to the individual in his daily life, a never-ending succession of new experiences. While these things, in themselves, are all auto-suggestive of past life experiences, yet they always pose in their transposition, an increasingly large number of ramifications which involve higher transpositions of energy, forms of life in the higher dimensions. The scientist who has developed the various testing devices for measuring the difference in the reactive or resistive values in his existing science, has in a sense already added to the confusion which exists in his own mind and which has come to him from the development of past lifetime experiences. This instrumentation and this science will not increase but will decrease his knowledge of the infinite, for with the continued usage of such science, he will only more firmly entrench himself deeper into the mire of his terrestrial dimension. Therefore, dear reader, when we gaze into the darkness of the summer night and see the luminous orb of the moon or the countless stars as pinpoints of light as they are presented in the vast distance of interstellar space, let us see, not with the physical eye, but with the inner eye, into the actual configurations of energy forms as they exist in this seeming void about us. Let us see those great magnetic lines of force which stretch like luminous ribbons, crisscrossing each other across the night sky. Let us see that the Earth, the Moon or the Sun presents not only a singular ball of suspended energy or mass in space but that it presents in itself, the interior surface of a vast interplay of cosmic force which stems from many dimensions above it. In these gyrating, pulsating oscillations of radiant energy in the interior of this vast interplay of cosmic energies, we see our little Earth, our little moon, or our still quite small sun. Let us see ourselves, not as creatures of happenstance of some unfathomable bestial passion, regenerated from out of the earthly dust and its constituents and traveling to an unknown and unmarked grave, but let us see ourselves as entities of intelligence, compounded by an infinite and innumerable number of various conjunctions of other intelligent entities, which are stemming from these same infinite numbers of dimensions about us. Let us see ourselves as energy forms, pulsating just as does the sun, the moon, the earth and all of the stars into our own particular set of infinite relationships. Let us see that we are continually remanifesting upon the conscious surface of our mind these innumerable and different dispensations of experiences which we call life and which represent in themselves only a part of that overall regenerative, resurgent pattern of intelligence called God, which represents the infinite. When we have thus attained this new perspective and we have widened our horizons to include the vastness and the infinite number of vistas of life as they are so compounded from the various and innumerable number of dimensions which are a part of this infinite, then we shall have indeed become men. We shall have taken the part in the scale of evolution which was primarily designed, if it can be so conceived, as this plan for each and every individual, that he, in himself becomes an oscillating polarity to the infinite whole. He will, in his future evolutions, thus manifest an increasingly larger number of horizons or dimensions of interplay with this infinite. Only then can he be considered a man. When he is thus a man, he can be considered a master, for he has, in this new perspective and in the widening of his horizon, included the infinite and arrived at that point where he has indeed become an oscillating polarity with the infinite in all of the ramifications which would involve such an interchange of polarity patterns. We should not resign ourselves to the common form of life which is subject to disease, to various reactions of social and political systems, to the vicissitudes of vice and corruption which propound these terrestrial civilizations. Instead, let us take our place in the infinite as intelligent constituents which, in ourselves as separate entities, are compounded of various infractions of these interdimensional forms of consciousness. We will then have assumed our proper role to the infinite, and yet even the infinite is not all, for once we have attained what we might, at this particular point called infinite consciousness, we shall indeed again be confronted with an increasingly vast horizon or a prospect for attainment, for such is the way, there is no ending, no cessation. Indeed, this is the principle of life itself, the dynamic and never-ending interplay of consciousness into an infinite number of forms and an infinite number of relationships, and only in this way can the infinite live, can it become a part of everything. In the various transpositions of life in our journey into this infinite, we thus become a part of it and can thus be considered spiritual beings, the true men, created of spirit. Addendum. Inasmuch as it has been about a year since dictating this book, it would be well to note at this time, various scientific discoveries which have happened since that time. The presentation of these present-day scientific findings together with some other existing facts pertinent to that dimension of scientific research known as geophysics, astrophysics and astronomy. These facts and figures will give you, the reader, a more comprehensive understanding of the word infinite, as it has been repeated so many times in the previous pages. The greatest amount of emphasis must therefore be placed on understanding the infinite. Much of our present-day information and findings came out of the International Geophysical Year, a united international scientific effort, participated in by most nations of the world in an attempt to increase man's span of knowledge of the great macrocosm. The IGY was an 18-month period of time between the 1st of July 1957 and December 31, 1958. And all of the data compiled during that time has not as yet been completely evaluated. Space probes in the form of satellites, balloons, rockets, etc., have also added considerably to this already existing fund of knowledge. It is interesting to note that it was found the mean circumference of the Earth was within a few miles of the same figure as that given by the Greek physicist and astronomer Eratosthenes of Cyrene, more than 2,000 years ago. Democritus, too, near that time, posed the theory that the Earth revolved around the Sun and that the nebulous light from the Milky Way was actually a composite of light infiltrations made up from billions of stars. During the first 1,000 years AD, the Arabs and other Mideastern nations were teaching their children a comparatively advanced astronomy. In contrast, all Europe, as a part of the Christian dominion, was living in complete abysmal ignorance of any kind of a comprehensive physiology and astronomy.